Chapter 59. Meet in Chicago. For Christ's and for humanity's sake, gather together. Mary Baker Eddy, 1888. The April Journal had announced that it had been recommended that the annual meeting of the National Christian Scientist Association be held in Chicago on the second Wednesday in June instead of May. The May Journal urged all to attend, but it also carried a word from the teacher, saying that she would not be there. She said further, "I warn those who are halting or getting blind, neither to stop and rest on my personality for all they achieve, nor to abuse it." But this warning was not heeded by those who were halting or getting blind. Just before the June Journal went to press, Mrs. Eddy inserted another appeal for unity of good in a call to her students. "Christian Scientists, for Christ's and for humanity's sake, gather together, meet en masse at the annual session of the National Christian Scientist Association. Be of one mind, in one place, and God will pour you out a blessing, such as you never before received. He who dwelleth in eternal light is bigger than the shadow, and will guard and guide his own. Let no consideration and or outweigh your purpose to be in Chicago on June 13th. Firm in your allegiance to the reign of universal harmony, go to its rescue. In God's hour, the powers of earth and hell are proven powerless. The reeling ranks of pill drivers with poisons, nostrums, and knives are impotent when at war with the omnipotent. Like Elijah, look up and behold, quote, they that be for us are more than they that be against us," end quote. Error is foaming, and it hisses at the still small voice of truth. But it can neither silence nor disarm God's voice. Spiritual wickedness is standing in high places, but blind to its own fate, it will tumble into the bottomless pit. Christians and all true scientists, marching under whatsoever ensign, come into our ranks. Again, I repeat, person is not in the question of Christian Science. Principle instead of person is next to our hearts, on our lips, and in our lives. Our watchwords are truth and love, and as we abide in these, they will abound in us, and we shall be one in heart, one in motive, purpose, pursuit. Abiding in these, not one of you can be separated from me, and the sweet sense of journeying on, quote, doing unto others as ye would they should do unto you, end quote, conquers all opposition, surmounts all obstacles, and secures success. If you falter or fail to fulfill this golden rule, though you should build to the heavens, you would still build on sand. Is it a cross to give 1 week's time and expense to the Jubilee of Spirit? Then take this cross, and the crown will come with it. Sending forth currents of truth, God's methods and means of healing, And so spreading the gospel of love is in itself an eternity of joy that outweighs an hour. Add one more noble offering to the unity of good, and so cement the bonds of love. Mrs. Eddy will herself attend the convention. The regular meeting of the CSA on the 6th of June was an open battle for supremacy to oust the leader and control the college association. Shortly after this chaotic meeting, Mrs. Eddy, who had not been present, called a few trusted students to meet at her house on Commonwealth Avenue. She had sent William B. Johnson to Chicago to contact the faithful leaders there. A few days later, in the company of Calvin Fry, Captain and Mrs. Eastman and Dr. E. J. Foster, the leader departed for the convention. 4 years earlier, Mrs. Eddy's companion on this same route had been Mrs. Sarah Cross, who was even now heading a movement against her teacher. In 1884, the leader's arrival in Chicago had gone practically unnoticed, but the seeds of truth she had sown in that city had flourished and were bearing fruit. 800 delegates assembled at the First Methodist Church on Wednesday afternoon for the first business meeting. After opening exercises and election of officers, it was voted to waive further business till the following day, whereupon Reverend George B. Day introduced the president to the audience. From the depths of her personal experience and out of a heart yearning to bestow its priceless treasures upon those who listened, the revered teacher, Mrs. Eddy, spoke. Those who understand her best said that never before had she so sternly, yet tenderly, shown the demands upon her students. For them, she rent the veil of personal sense. To them, she showed the hidden workings of animal magnetism in its latest and subtlest intrigues. She warned those who would pass through this wonderful epoch in the history of Christian Science to watch and pray without ceasing. This duty done, she turned with that mighty power which she possesses to the God whom she obeys and reflects, and away, apart from a sense of sin or consciousness of individual ambition, pride, hope, or fear, she centered the gaze upon the Shekinah and led willing ears to listen to the oracles of good and, listening, to obey. Before the second business meeting, the next afternoon, a public meeting had been planned at the Central Music Hall. The delegates were to be the speakers, and Mrs. Eddy had consented to attend and sit on the platform. On the morning of June 14th, nearly 4,000 people filled the auditorium of the Central Music Hall. As Reverend Day was escorting Mrs. Eddy to the stage entrance, she was seen to shake her head in protest with an outward sweep of her hand. He had just informed her that she had been advertised in all the papers as the speaker for the day. With no topic and no preparation, she hesitated at the door, then lifted her eyes for inspiration and guidance. As the leader walked onto the stage, The whole vast audience rose to its feet and welcomed her.